everybody. My name is Josh. What's your name? Great. Got it. Perfect. I heard Megan and then a bunch of mumbling. That's awesome. Welcome to Future Quest. My name is Josh. I'm excited to be here. I am from Northern California. It's actually like 45 minutes north, but it's Northern California to you. I'm from Orange County. I'm a junior high pastor and I'm stoked to be with you today. In an effort to build a relationship quickly, because I need you to trust me on day one, right out of the gate, here we go. I'm gonna show you a picture of my family. So here's a picture of my family. Here it is. This is me, my wife. We've been married 25, 26, I don't know, a long time. And we have four kids together. We have Christian, Austin, Alexis, and there's another one, I guess. How many of you, I'm kidding, there's Jaden is my youngest. How many of you are our middle children? Middle children? Yes, okay, good. How many of you are the babies? Oh, they're so spoiled. You can just see it already, can't you? You know. I'm a middle child, and so youth leaders, if you're here serving this week, keep an eye on the middle children, those that raise their hands, those kids stuck in the middle. They're probably the ones that are gonna get in trouble or do something dangerous or light the church on fire. That's just how it's gonna be. I didn't show you a very important member of my family. This is our dog, Hanalei. This is our dog, Hanalei. She is a Tennessee treeing hound, and we got her, we rescued her, because we're like wonderful humans like that, and in Hawaii. We were on vacation, and we visited the dog pound. I don't know what was going on, and we adopted this amazing dog. How many of you are dog people? Let me just see the dog view. Yes. You are my people. That's what I'm talking about. How many of you are cat people? Yeah, forget it. Don't even like you. Yeah, boo. Let's boo them. Let's shame cat people right out of the gate. I'm here to divide us. That's what I'm here to do. That's what I like to do, just to establish a rapport with the crowd. I want to just immediately make you choose sides. I'm a dog person. Whatever you are, God still loves you just a little less than he does dog people. That's okay. Just quick introduction. I love Star Wars. This is my one of 37 t-shirts that I have that are Star Wars. Every night that I go to youth group, I have one for just about every night of the year. I do retire some on occasion. I add others. This is Baby Yoda, obviously, the best Star Wars character ever made. I love Star Wars. I played football. Here's a picture that I brought of, I think we have a shot of, yeah, that, I know, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's not me. That's just a guy. That's a guy. That's J.J. Watt from the Houston Texans. But some of you were like, wow, he really let himself go. Yeah, okay. Dad bod right here. So I look a little bit like J.J. Watt from the neck up, but it's the chins down where I kind of lose control of things. And most people say that I look a little bit more like Mr. Incredible than anything. Some of you see it. You already see it? How is that possible? I do not. It's the hair? Is it the hair? Thank you. Now, which Mr. Incredible, though? This is very important that I understand this. Is it the super fit superhero Mr. Incredible, or is it the, like, dad bod Mr. Incredible? But you can... You know what I say? Hurt people, hurt people. That's all there is to it. All right. Well, here's the deal. That's me. Nice to get to know you. Excited to hang out today. It's going to be fun. Let me show you some images of people that you might recognize. Here's the first one. Shout out his name when you see it. Anyone know who this is? Steve Jobs. Yeah. If you have an iPhone, really any phone, you can attribute much of the technology, the patents that drive it. If you like pinch or zoom an image or rotate it, it's all because of this guy. If you're I don't want to further divide you. But we could do like an iPhone Android thing. But what we should do is be like, if you don't have a phone yet, can we just have a moment of silence for those of you that don't have phones? I'm so sorry. Someone lost their phone in the water attraction already? Amazing, amazing. Okay, Steve Jobs, he didn't invent the phone, but he popularized the smartphone that many of you have and undoubtedly all of you at some point will have this device in your pocket. Pretty amazing device. I was on a flight recently buying another flight. I was on the internet from 38,000 feet in the air buying another flight to go. I mean, it was unbelievable the world of technology that we live in, all right? So the iPhone, pretty astonishing stuff. I read Steve Jobs' biography, if you're ever interested in like a cautionary tale. This dude is incredible. He changed the world as we know it, but his life was actually a hot mess. He like lost his children, lost his marriages. He was an absolutely terrible manager and boss. But he's also like an amazing inventor and genius at the same time. But both good and bad for sure. Sir Walter Isaacson wrote his biography. If you get a chance, it's a great, great read. Let me show you another picture. Somebody else up on the screen. Does anybody know who this couple is? Yeah, very good. This is the Bezoses. Her and her husband started Amazon. So what's amazing is, I don't know if they're testing the app here, but there's an app that we're using right now. I assume it's here too. It's called Prime Now, and you can push a button and an item will be at your door in 2 hours. So it used to be like 2 days. Can you believe how fast it is? Then it was like, oh, you'll be here tomorrow. That's cool. And now it's like, I can't wait. I need the new controller for my Xbox in 2 hours. And I'm like, this is incredible. I don't have to leave the couch. Like, I can just get new batteries and they'll just show up at my front door. Technology is amazing. And this guy's life is very complicated, is what her husband. Their lives are very complicated. They recently got divorced. He was the richest man in the world when they got divorced. They are now two of the richest people in the world. Pretty amazing story of their life as well. I think also maybe a little bit of a cautionary tale for us too. Let me go to some more obscure people that you might not recognize. How about this fella? Do you know who this guy is? Anybody recognize him? Did they not teach you in history class who these giants? This is an important one. All right. You got an idea? Who do you think? What do you think? Somebody said Walt Disney. It's not Walt Disney. It looks a little bit like Walt Disney. That's true. It's not. Someone said Barack Obama. No, I don't. Not even close. You do not know your presidents if that's Barack Obama. We're in trouble. That guy's name is Charles Doolin. Now, some of you are like, still nothing. I got no idea who Charles Doolin is. Charles Doolin invented the Cheeto. He invented the Cheeto. He works for Frito-Lay, and he invented the Cheeto. Now, this is someone we should absolutely rest in peace, but thank you for the Cheeto. Wow. That dude is amazing. One more. This gentleman up on the screen, anybody know who he is? He looks like a city councilman. No, not Barack Obama, but good try. All right, great. Don't know. No, not sure. What do you think? Who do you think he is? Close. His name is Richard Montañez. Does that ring a bell? No. I feel sad that you don't know who these people are. What did he do? Thank you for asking. He invented the Flamin' Hot Cheeto. This is the guy that invented the Flamin' Hot Cheeto. So Charles Doolin, pretty amazing. But this guy, the Flamin' Hot Cheeto, believe it or not, he was actually a janitor at Frito-Lay, and he went and told like the executives that they should do a spicy, Flamin' Hot variety of, you know, like a topping on their chips or whatever, and invented this. He went from being the janitor cleaning up the factory at night to he's now the vice president of Frito-Lay because he invented the Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Yeah, I think that's pretty amazing. And they're actually making a movie about him as well, like a real Hollywood story. It's called The Flamin' Hot Guy, which is weird. It doesn't feel like that's gonna work out. But anyway, okay, here's the deal. I don't know where your life is going to take you. I don't know what your story, I don't know where you're going to, I don't know what you're going to end up being. I wanted to be a fighter pilot as I was driving down from Orange County last night. There's F-35s flying all over the sky at Miramar. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I want to be a fighter pilot. Didn't exactly have the body for it. Actually, I had too much body for it. And I couldn't fit into an airplane. They said, no, you're not going to be a fighter pilot. And I said, fine. And then I thought, maybe someday I'll be a stadium announcer. Like, ladies and gentlemen, I would think that'd be so fun to be a stadium announcer. They pay you to talk to people. Like, this is awesome. Never worked out. Although when I was working at a drive-thru, when I was about your age, 16, I don't know how many of you are 16 years old. I got my first job. I was working the drive-thru, and the drive-thru, this guy goes, you have a great voice. You should be a country music DJ. And I went home, and my parents said, no way. And that was the end of that story. That was the end. That was it. So I just continued to work at Carl's Jr. What a hero, a titan of industry I have become, for sure. Here's the deal. I don't know if you're going to end up being an amazing rotoscope engineer at Pixar or an animator or a mechanic. I don't know if you're going to assemble the robots that assemble cars. I don't know exactly where your story is going to end up, but I actually know more about you than you might think. In fact, I can tell you where you're going to end up. I can tell you where you're going to end up. Now, I don't know all the twists and turns of your story. I don't know the beginning, the end. I'm not totally sure about your career, but I can tell you where you're going to end up. First verse on the screen, I want you to get. If you're taking notes, and I love that I see so many notebooks and pens out, that's awesome. I'm going to try to give you a few things to write down. At the very least, think about them. If you see someone that has a phone out, you know, smack it out of their hand. If you see somebody wearing AirPods, you can actually take them. I give you permission to steal them. I give you permission to do that. Like, I want you to pay attention, because these words are not Josh's happy words of wisdom. They are from the scriptures, and they're really important for us, because they can change the course of your life. Here's what it says in the scriptures. I'll put it up on the screen too. It says this, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard, I don't know if you're going to be a teacher, or you're going to be in the military, or you're going to go to trade school or art school, or I know that your heart will determine the rest of the course of your life. I can tell you where you're going to end up by looking at the condition of your heart. And here's the deal. I've done youth ministry for a long time. I've done youth ministry since well before any of you students, at least, were born. Some of your leaders are quite old. I haven't been doing it that long. In fact, look at your leader right now and just say, you're kind of old. Go ahead. I'll let you do it. Go ahead. Yeah. And if they're really old, they already know it. You don't need to rub it in. They totally get it. But I promise you, your leaders, they know this principle already. They know that your heart determines everything else. In fact, that's some of the reason why your leaders are here this weekend. They're here because either they didn't have that youth group experience when they were younger, and they're like, if I only had someone pointing me in the right direction, nudging me, caring for me, loving me enough, if only, and that's why they're a leader today, because they want you to get it. And some of them are like, I had the most amazing junior high or high school experience, and I was pointed in the right direction, and someone was looking over my heart and held me accountable and loved me enough to tell me even when I was off God's path, and I wanna make sure that the teenagers in our church have that, and that's why they're serving with you this week. It's not because your youth leader needs more friends. Actually, some of them look kind of lonely. Maybe they do actually need some more friends, but it's because they care deeply for you and your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I wrote it this way in my notes. I'll put it on the screen too. The condition of your heart determines the steps you take today and the legacy that you leave behind tomorrow. The condition of your heart today is determining where you end up. And course corrections today, especially, that's why I love junior high and high school students, they're my favorite, because the decision, the choices you make today change where you end up. A little, look up here, a little course, I'm heading in this path, this is my path, a little change, and I end up way over there. A little change, and I end up way over there. That's why the decisions that you make as a teenager are so big and so important, because little changes today, when you're old, are massive. They change the course of your life. I don't know exactly Steve Jobs and Charles Doolin and Richard Montañez and Mr. and Mrs. Bezos. I don't know every ounce of their story and life, and it's complicated. I get it. But I know this. Your heart is going to determine where you end up. The scripture I want to look at today is from the life of Christ. It's in the book of Matthew, if you're familiar with the Bible. I would just say this also. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not like a church kid, someone invited you, you heard there was like hot Cheetos and hot girls, so you're like, I'm going. All right, whatever. I'm just glad that you're here. And I want to invite you to see the words and teachings of Jesus, because I think they can change your life. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 15, first couple verses. I'll set up the story a little bit, but it goes like this. Some Pharisees, super religious people at the time, and teachers of religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to see Jesus. So they're hanging out with Jesus, and they had some questions for him. They asked him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? The tradition is this. They ignore our tradition of ceremonially hand washing. What a great word, ceremonially. There it is. Hand washing before they eat. Let's pause the passage right there. You and I just survived a global pandemic. Congratulations. Give yourselves a round of applause. That was good. That was good. You did it. You made it. Proud of you. Here's the deal. You know that hand washing is actually really important. The verse says, hey, they don't wash their hands before they eat. You know this is a big deal because over and over again for the last 2.5 years, people said, wash your hands, hand sanitizer, your hands are like cracking, breaking, you're like elbowing people, coming up with all sorts of different introductions of people, and you're finally, you're like, this hand washing thing is getting out of hand. Well, the Pharisees have this tradition of washing their hands before they eat, and it's actually kind of ahead of its time that that's written 2,000 years ago in the Bible. And you know this to be true, because when you have a Crunchwrap Supreme, your hands get on the tortilla goes in your mouth, and you can get sick. So it's important to wash your hands before you eat. Any junior hires here as well, junior high boys, good? Also, deodorant is really important for you too. Just thought I'd throw that in there. That's free, I'm not your dad, but your dad should have told you that. All right, here's the deal. It's important that you wash your hands before you eat. Got it. Passage continues and says this. You hypocrites, Jesus is now talking. I do love it when Jesus like totally fires back at someone. They're like, hey, these guys aren't washing their hands before they eat, and it's making us very upset. And Jesus says, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. If you don't know what a hypocrite is, kind of an old word, it just means you're a poser, you're a faker, you're a pretender, you're a try-hard, you absolutely are an actor. He says, you actor Isaiah, the old prophet from a couple thousand years before Jesus, was right when he prophesied about you. This is what he said. He wrote this, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts. Remember, we know how important the heart is because it determines the course of your life. Proverbs, got it? These people honor me with their lips. They wash their hands, but their hearts are far from me. He says, are you kidding me? He says, we're obsessed with keeping the outside of ourselves clean so that we look good in appearance. But what I care most about is your heart. I don't know the condition of your heart today. I don't know if you're walking into an event like this hoping that no one probes too deeply into your heart or story and sees the darkness or the corruption or the sin. But I do know this, that the condition of your heart, it's going to change your whole story. And if you don't deal with it when these little decisions have big outcomes in your life, you could end up way down a wrong path. talked to too many teenagers that say something like this: I don't know how I ever ended up here. And they're into something really deep, like the white knuckle grip of addiction, the pain of carrying the secret, or the pain or the shame is so great. Like, how did I end up here? Well, it's because way before there, you made a choice to wash your hands and make sure the outside looked good, and to be a pretender and an actor and a poser and a tryhard rather than someone who lives genuinely and honestly before the Lord. That's what I want for you. That's why your leaders are here. They're here because they want you to love and follow Jesus authentically and honestly. I don't know if you can see them, but I see them nodding when I'm saying that's why they're here. They're super excited about the games and all that stuff too. It's going to be great. But they really hope, spoiler alert, your heart gets changed. Now, here's the deal. The scripture throughout in all the teachings, the scripture says this over and over again. So this shouldn't be new to you. If you've been around church stuff for a while, you might know that to be true already. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. This might be familiar to some of you. It says this: nothing in all of creation is hidden before God. Nothing is hidden before God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. Some of you just woke up. You're like, what? Naked? Exposed? All right, welcome back. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He is the one to whom you are accountable. So he said, listen, I already know the condition of your heart. You're working so hard to protect and hide and put up walls and put on the mask, and he already knows. But here's the good news. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to make your life new, or to renew your heart and life forever. He wants to change the course and the destiny of your life. Back to Matthew chapter 15, the hypocrite story where Jesus is talking to these very religious people. Matthew chapter 15 continues, says this: from the heart. There it is again. From the heart come evil thoughts. And he lists some examples. Evil thoughts: murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, slander. It's a pretty good list. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. What he's saying is this: the germs on your hand, or the ceremony and the acting of washing your hands, pales in comparison to the hard work that needs to be done inside your heart. Let me show you what a heart looks like. A hypocritical heart looks like this. A hypocritical heart looks good on the outside. It's red, it's tanned. Like, from the outside, the heart looks healthy and good, and it looks okay. But the hypocritical heart is hiding deep inside. And what Jesus is asking for us, and told the Pharisees, the religious people of that day, and is telling us today, is have a humble heart before him that is transformed by Jesus Christ, that his death and burial on the cross, accepting his forgiveness, has cleansed us from the inside out. And as the darkness tries to creep in and grab a hold and change our heart, it doesn't stand a chance. I put some little actions under each one, or what is typical of each of these hearts. A hypocritical heart is hiding the secrets and the sins. It is the master of the mask. Let me pause on that one for a second. It is amazing to me how incredibly good some teenagers have become so early in their story with wearing the mask. I mean, Christians do that to a degree all the time, right? Where, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Praise the Lord, brother. Or whatever. Like, and we kind of like put on a face, and I get it. But what shocks me is what many adults took years and years and years to master. Some of you have already perfected the mask. Some of you, some of us have already mastered the mask. You're a professional actor, always concerned with the outward appearance. Your heart is closed off to others, and of course, the corruption is hidden in the center. The humble heart, though, is just the opposite. Jesus invites us to this life, to where we keep temptation at bay. We fight temptation. We have accountability where someone knows the good, the bad, and the ugly in our heart and in our life, the decisions that we've made. We're in a practice of regularly confessing sin. Our heart is open to others. And of course, Jesus is at the center of it all. I put it this way, if you wanted to write it down, a simple little phrase that I think could be helpful. A healthy heart requires attention. A healthy heart requires, maybe if you want to like a go deeper word, constant attention. A healthy heart, one where you stand before Jesus and following his ways, it requires constant attention. It doesn't just happen. But the good news is that we can have a heart that's transformed by Jesus. Here's what it says in 1 John. 1 John, the scripture says this, say if we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Because every single person in this room, everybody, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We're all broken. We're all messed up. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're messed up. All right, good, good, good. Now, turn to the person on the other side and say, you're really messed up. Yeah, that's good. Some of you enjoyed that a little too much. That was good. Good, just check for earbuds. You can just steal them if they're there. Okay, good. All right, good. You're there. Here's the good news. The good news is that a clean heart is possible. A clean heart is possible. It requires constant attention. You have to be vigilant and diligent, but it's possible. And here's how. Scripture gives us the way. It says this in 1 John again, chapter 1, verse 9. It says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He makes us new. If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus and you're fighting that battle, when you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. It's renew. And if you're here and you're like, I'm not a follower of Jesus, I'm just checking things out, I came for the games, whatever. Hey, you can be made new this week. Your life can be transformed forever. But a clean heart begins with confession. A clean heart begins with confession, just admitting where you're at. My youth group back home, we did a series where we just talked a lot about confession. And I had a little box in the front of our youth group, and they could put any secret or any whatever into this little like comment box. And I said, don't put your name on it. Don't let your handwriting be distinguishable. Like, just totally anonymous, put your confessions in the box. I brought four of them. One of the guys on our team is really good at like Photoshop stuff or whatever, and he took a few of those secrets and those confessions and made them into graphics and images that I felt were super powerful. I wanted to share some with you. I'm going to show them to you, but these are my youth group kids. I don't know if they're your. I don't know what your story is. These are just some of mine. It says this: I'm afraid I will never be loved, so I pretend to have a boyfriend. All right, that's good confession, I guess. All right, I get it. I like this one. I pretend to be a Christian at church. See the halo around the guy? But my friends know the truth. He's got the little devil horns. I lie to my family and my friends about what's going on in my life. I don't know if you can see it at the bottom, but it says, I want to kill myself. That's a pretty real, just sit in this one for a second. I know it may be uncomfortable, but this one's very real, especially right now, coming out of the pandemic. We're all supposed to be okay and everything's all right. And for some of you, you're like, I'm not okay. And I'm having some really dark thoughts. We gotta get that out. Last one. I'm not a virgin anymore and it's killing me. And there were tons and tons more, some silly and no big deal, and some massive confessions that I didn't bring them all with, but here's what I want you to know. A clean heart is possible. A clean heart is promised by God. A clean heart begins with confession, and a clean heart stays with accountability. You gotta let somebody in, and it's not just a one-time thing where you're like, okay, I said it, and there it is. It's out there. Like, at least I talked about that secret addiction or that thing on my phone that I keep going back to. Like, I said it, and now victory. We don't have to worry about that anymore. That's not how it works. In fact, if anything, sometimes we can say that we confessed, and then we can go right back into our shell. Or when we finally release that thing, it comes back stronger and tighter than ever. And so it isn't just a one-time way of living. It is continually not just washing our hands. It is the cleansing of our heart. My hope and my prayer for this week together, Future Crust has been going for like 1,000 years, right? It's like 1,000 years, I think, pretty much. I hope this week that your story, it might not feel like the biggest change in the world, but it's going to change where you end up. It's going to change your whole life because you're giving your heart to Jesus. I like the song that Brianna was singing about Hosanna. Just a beautiful, powerful song about how Jesus is knocking on our heart. She was singing, I'm in the back just going, that is the message. Like, she's singing. I was ready to go home after that. Just her song was amazing. I'm like, that's what Jesus is doing. He's knocking on the door of our hearts. He doesn't want your actions. He doesn't want you to look like a Christian and show up at church until you're 18 and then do whatever you want. He doesn't want you to be a pretender and a poser. He doesn't want just the outside being clean. He wants your heart. I thought of it this way as I try to pull it all together into maybe just two simple directions. Your heart is going to determine where you end up. So if you're here, and right at the beginning of Future Crust, right out of the gate, my hope for you, if you're here and you are a follower of Jesus, I hope that you'll say, this week, if God speaks to me, if I hear his voice, I will listen, I will obey. And maybe already, you know that your heart, there needs to be a confession of what's cooking in your heart and life or spinning and stuck inside of your mind. You know, the leaders that are here, they absolutely love you. It would give them no greater joy than to sit out of something for a few minutes and talk about what's really going on. I mean, to be honest, the real reason that we do youth group and that we do stuff like this is to attempt to get to your heart. And so I hope that you don't just play and have a blast and maybe fall in love and out of love this week with somebody who's here and you're like, I'm gonna marry her someday. And no, there's no chance. Just by the way, if you fall in love this week, there's not a chance you're ever gonna get married. It's just not possible. Now, someone's like, but my youth leader met someone at Future. Nope, it was a unicorn situation. It's never going to happen to you. It was one in a million, and they were the one. You're in the million. Sorry, you're not going to fall in love. But here's the deal. Don't just come here and play games and have fun and try to fall in love. It's about your heart. I hope that you have a blast. I hope you meet a bunch of new friends. But I really hope that instead of hearing this message and going, yeah, I need to talk about that. But you hold on, and the moment passes, and then you're like, I made it. I don't have to tell anybody again. I hope instead you'll say, no, my heart determines the course of my life. I'm going to spend some time doing some work on my heart this week. Your leaders would have no greater joy. And then the second group of people that may be here and you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not a religious person. You're not a church person. Maybe you come occasionally, Christmas, Easter at best, or a friend invited you, whatever your story is. And you're like, I have not really thought a lot about the condition of my heart. My hope and my prayer for you is that, I mean, renew is kind of like made new again. I hope that this week changes your life, and that you'll be made new for the first time by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. When we confess our sins, we admit that we're broken, we mess up, and we accept His love, it's where it all begins. Changes the course of our life forever. Charles Doolin, Cheeto guy, pretty amazing life. Richard Montañez, flaming hot Cheeto guy, pretty amazing life. I don't know what you're going to end up being, but I know who you will become. It starts with the condition of your heart and your relationship with Jesus. Let's do this. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes just for a second. The reason I like to do this is so that you think about you. Because sometimes during a message, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, my friend needs that. Or you elbow somebody or nudge somebody else and you're like, this is for them. I don't want to talk to them or have you think about them. Close your eyes so you think about you. In your story, in your life, where are you a hypocrite? We all are. Where are you hiding? What do you need to confess? What's going on in your heart? And then you're just like, I got to get this out, but I got to keep it hidden. Like no one can know the dark thoughts or the secret addiction. Like nobody can know. I just got to make it through the next few minutes. And I would say, please don't. If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, it's about being renewed. I'd like to do this. If you are here this week and you're like, I'm a follower of Jesus already, but I'm gonna need to talk to my leader. Doesn't have to be tonight, doesn't have to be right now. In fact, whatever, you got 3 days. But you'll say, I'm gonna have a legit conversation about something that's going on in my heart or life with my leader before Future Quest is over. Keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. Just raise your hand really quick, put it down. If you're like, hey, I'm gonna talk to somebody. Wow, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Just up real fast. I'll see it, maybe your leader will see it. Put it right back down, all good. Thank you, so many people. I appreciate your honesty. God's doing work right now, right out of the gate. Session one, Future Quest, here we go. God's speaking to you. Anybody else? Real quick, you've been holding back. You're like, I don't, just don't raise my hand. Oh, just please keep your hand down. What am I doing? Thank you. Thank you for those people that just raised their hand right now. Anybody else? Awesome. So proud of you. Your leaders love you. They're here for that conversation. They may nudge you discreetly and say, hey, what do we got to talk about? Let's get away for a second. Let me buy you a coffee, whatever. That's where a pure heart begins. And then maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus. Let me just ask you to do this. Let me say it this way. I will be open to what God has for me this week. I'm not asking you to make a commitment or stand to your feet or come. I'm just saying, I will be open to what God does, if He's even real, in my heart this week. I will be open to it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a second. Just raise your hand real quick, up and down. I appreciate that. A lot of honesty in this room. I appreciate that a ton. Thank you. Anybody else? Hey, I'm not sure about this whole Jesus God thing, but I do want the weight that I'm carrying and the baggage that I'm carrying and all of this stuff that's rolling around in my head, I know I need If he's real, I know I need him. Anybody else, just raise your hand real quick and say, if God speaks to me, I'll listen. I'll do what he says. I appreciate that. Thank you for your honesty. Guys, so proud of you. So proud of you. I'm excited about what we have in store this week. Thanks for your honesty and the tenderness of your heart. Just as we begin. So good. Let me pray. God, in this room, we have hundreds of young people. God, if we could figure this out, to walk with you, to be your disciples, to be your followers, to not be pretenders and posers and hypocrites, but genuinely love you, Jesus, and trust you as our Lord and Savior, and confess when we get off of the path and come back to your open arms, God, we could change the world. We could change our city. We could change our country. We could change the world just from this room alone. God, thank you for the way you're working in our hearts and lives already today. God, I need to ask for your forgiveness. And God, I need to confess my sin to you too. Because it isn't fair for me to just tell everybody how to live and not do it myself. And so God, this is my moment of confession to you too. Thank you for the great leaders that are in this room, a chance we have to examine our hearts. We love you, Jesus. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.